Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God bless you and keep you. Father, wonderful days ahead for those that walk in you and abide in you, and we appreciate it. Also, Lord, we know you're bringing an end to your faction, which is sanctifying the saints and separating the wicked from the righteous and all those good things. Thank you, Lord, for all of your good plans, Lord. It's you doing it, and we praise you for it. All right, saints, we've been talking about the restoration for the saints. And this is number 4. This is a word that was given to Julie. And the name of it was, "I am coming now in my remnant. Your wait is over." I do believe that this is happening, but it's going to happen in a greater way as we progress. But I'll just share this word with you. All right. "Never before, my children, never before have I come like I will now come. Never before has there been a season on earth like what is now here, and never will there be again. Just as I have taught you that there is an appointed time for all things in my design, there are an immeasurable amount of details that must be in place, so to speak, in order that my word is fulfilled in all accuracy and truth. I have taught you that position is of the utmost importance, and this is not only for you as being made in my image to fulfill your purpose here, but the positioning of all things created must be aligned in its proper order across the earth, and then the point of my collective manifestation occurs in my people. Never before has the fullness of time come when all facets of my design are in harmony. Never before have the necessary prophecies come to pass in order that the earth is ripe for my arrival. And never before has evil been called good and good evil to such a degree so that the enemy has been given power like never before to deceive in order that all is fulfilled. Before I intervene, I have allowed the darkness to reach the fullness of the limits that I have put on it in order that its full face is revealed for what it is. In doing this, and before I now manifest through my first fruits body, souls have been given a choice, either for me or against me. There has been a separation of my first fruits bride from the larger remaining group according to the experience in intimacy each soul has attained. I tell you now, children, that your wait is over. As I have intervened to reveal evil for what it is, as you, my vessels, are now prepared for the Master's good will and pleasure, as you are ready to receive your king and groom, so I will now come for my jewels, those who have been tested and refined by fire. The third I have brought out from the hole, in order that I may have an army to display myself through, as my presence invades the earth, bringing the kingdom here, all things on earth as it is in heaven. In this, the veil of deception is torn, and all will be exposed for what it is. No longer will evil have a place to hide from the presence of the great I am, as I pour out through my instruments of righteousness, and collectively you shatter the darkness. All lies will be confessed and exposed, and all unrighteousness and wickedness will surface as the light of my glory through you overshadows them in all radiance and brilliance. All the dark kingdom will attempt to run in great terror at the sight of you, great fear overtaking them, but there will be nowhere to hide. A great, great shaking comes both for those who call themselves mine, but who have compromised, especially those in teaching and pastoral positions. False prophets leading many away from me, as well as all those who confess me with their lips, but whose hearts are far from me. A distinct and great separation is here, one like never before has occurred on the earth. You can hear the rumble now at my approach, dear ones, as the shofar for you is about to sound. This first time, only those who walk in complete obedience and surrender will hear the sounds of the call of your King, Groom, and Captain of hosts. I come now as a thief in the night to those whose oil is full, to strengthen you and to fill you to overflowing, to indwell completely your vessels, transforming you into my image and empowering you with all power and authority given to me from my Father, for you to complete the work we have begun in you and to fulfill the purpose which you have come to earth in this age. The great rescue for the remaining ones will then commence for all those who are lost, broken, weary, the handicapped, the lame, the blind, the deaf, all those who are forgotten, abused, neglected, trafficked, beaten, tortured, and abandoned. As my word states, you will rescue the lowliest of the low, those this world considers less than human, displaying the incredible mercy and love I have for all those made in my image. And this is why I say that there has never been a season like this. I have never before come collectively to manifest all my glory to my children, and this is the meaning in my word that you will do all these things and more. Collectively, I will be made manifest through a body of souls in harmony with me, and together the result of this will be the raising of the frequencies of this realm, as I have previously taught you. Darkness is of a very low frequency, but when my light and frequency invade through my remnant, the entire realm will experience a transition and an opportunity like never before. Those who have been trapped and bound by darkness, oppressed, persecuted, will have in their presence the very essence of me, the great I Am, and I will open through you spiritually blind eyes and ears so they can finally clearly see the choice that I have given them that they have not been able to see in the past. There will be great clarity in the spirit as my presence will stand before them. Many, many will choose me and eternal life, and the harvest will be plentiful, although my labors have been few. Pray, my beloved ones, pray for my full measure of glory to be poured through you in order that you may walk in all that I have purposed for you in this great hour. You have come here just for this season, and your entire life's journey has been in preparation for this season and this age. You have been chosen from before the foundation to complete this work for me, and we have found favor in your temples. All is in the moment of now, as I have showed to my daughter who writes for me in a vision. All of your time periods are one moment in my kingdom. It is only here in this realm that you operate under limitations of time and space. As I am outside of this, I see all in one moment. And this moment is now, and this is how I see the end and the beginning together. And I can say in my word that there is nothing new. The past is the future, is the past. Because this is my truth, I know the incalculable outcomes of every single choice each soul has made in their journey here, or ever will make, and the results of that outcome in every minute detail, even the slightest, smallest matter, has meaning in my design, as you're all connected and integrated in me. There are an infinite amount of possibilities for one's journey and the experience a soul has based on the tiniest of detail in a choice made. I have the outcome of all that one single choice in any given moment will make. Only as the Creator, an infinite one, can I manage what would be impossible for man. Yet I still bestow the greatest of mercy for my creation. Mercy is given because of my great love. There is not in existence a love like mine. Therefore, the opportunities for eternal life with me are only found in my ways. And because of me, because of my love for you, and because of my son's sacrifice, the greatest of gifts from a father who loves you unconditionally has been given in that I gave you my son so that you would not be lost. I give you a choice so that you are not forced to love me. I give you a choice to allow you an opportunity to spend eternity with me instead of with Satan in all his dark kingdom. My mercy will now pour out in its greatest measure, and all will know that the King of Kings is come in his people. And for a short season, opportunity is given to choose life in a way I have not manifested previously. Then the great tribulation and end of this age will come, as I remove myself and my cherished ones from this place and allow wrath to consume the earth. Be full of joy, my children, and rejoice. My arrival is here, and nothing will be able to stop the flood of my presence in such love and mercy. You have waited so long for this season, and even the excitement in my kingdom is great, as all have prepared for this glorious event. Be strong and courageous, dear ones, and stand firm. Do not be afraid or discouraged. I am here. I am here. Heaven is come. Well, amen, and thank you, Father. We know that great things are about to happen. You're giving barely enough time for this particular revelation to get out to tell people. It's time. And we know that the Man-Child Ministry is coming to begin this great restoration, and that that will be very quickly. Thank you, Father, for that. In the name of Jesus, it was just as it was when you came, Jesus. You restored all things. And everything that had been stolen from your people, you gave. And thank you, Father, for doing this. Thank you for this great restoration that is about to begin. Oh, praise be to God. Well, Sandy Shaw had this revelation on 3/30/2012, and we called it Joel's Restoration Begins. In this dream, we were in a place that looked like Tahlequah, Oklahoma, but it was bigger and prettier. It was really beautiful. Well, in Cherokee, Tahlequah means just two, or two is enough. Just as Jesus sent out the 70 two by two, so it will be in our day when Jesus in the man-child ministers will send out the two witnesses in the great revival. There were a lot of people from UBM there, Sandy said. Not just local, but from all over. A lot of people were there who were like-minded. There were babies all the way up to old men there, all kinds of ages. There was singing, praying, eating, and all kinds of fellowship. Kids were playing. It was like a big meadow, and there were lots of shade trees. And there was just a oneness there. It was peaceful and really beautiful. The sun felt so good. Then it started to rain while the sun was still out. And the rain lasted only a few seconds because it started to pour down like a waterfall. It was just a steady flowing stream of water hitting everyone there, from the babies to the oldest. Well, I do believe this is a renewal of the former rain upon the saints and the beginning of the latter rain upon the David Manchild Ministries before it's given to the saints, just as Joel spoke of and the Gospels show in type. In Joel 2:22, it says, "Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth its fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he giveth you the former rain in just measure, and he causes to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and you shall praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame." And, of course, let me say that this text comes after the Northern Army has conquered, has been divided and conquered and gone through its own Red Sea experience. A destruction of those who have been chasing after the bride and those who in the beast area desire to destroy Christianity. So verse 27 goes on, "And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord your God, and there is none else, and my people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." Now, we know that all this happened in the former rain, but it's also going to happen in the latter rain. In the prophecy that I shared with you earlier, this is not just one moment and it's all over. It's just the beginning of a revival that lasts all the way through the tribulation period, even in the midst of the persecution that the beast brings against the saints. And verse 29 says, "And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my spirit." Well, amen. Yep, God is going to do an awesome work among his people. Now, this sounds really rosy, but I got to tell you, this is not for the whole earth. It is on the whole earth, and it is for those who have followed after him, gone through persecutions and tribulations and hatred and scorn and so on and so forth. And God is going to refresh from the years of those worms that basically have been devouring his crop. Thank you, Father, for doing this. And she said, everyone was feeling this water. And it was filling us up. Praise the Lord. It was freshness and newness and did not feel like any other kind of anointing one has ever felt before. We knew that we knew it wasn't going to go away. It was going to stay. Everyone had their faces up to the water, up to the anointing and feeling the water. I am not doing it justice on explaining how it felt, the way it was filling us up and the way that we felt, even to say walking on a cloud is not the right words, but I don't know any other words. I saw people walking on stones and stickers in the ground, and we were barefooted and it didn't hurt us. It was like we didn't feel it. I believe this represents, as it did in Genesis, walking above the curses of this world. The stones and the stickers represent the curses of the world. When we come into the rest, saints, these things don't bother us. And nor do they tempt us, because we're resting from our own works. And we've been brought into the rest, as the scripture also says, by that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. She went on to say, we knew that we knew our entire body was anointed of God. We knew what we were doing was ordained of God, and we were just doing it. There were no questions. I just can't explain the oneness. It was just awesome. I can't explain the way our hands felt, like they were not our hands, but the Lord's hands. Each step was ordained of the Lord. We knew that nothing could take away what God had given to us. We were being completely used by Him. It was like walking or moving on clouds. When everyone was filled, that's when we heard God tell us, okay, get busy. We're going to work now. Yeah. Well, how could we possibly go without being filled, right? This job and this work is a work of God and not of man. The Lord doesn't dwell in houses made with men's hands. He is working on a house that's made of many souls who are come to unity in one holy temple in the Lord, right, as Ephesians called it. So this is what we've been calling the beginning of the spread of the revival. Here's a revelation given to Candace Thornburg. This is Eve Brass' mom. We called it the restoration of all. And Candace received this on 1/31/22. I had a dream which I believe is from the Lord. I can rarely remember my dreams, and when I do, they have always been in black and white. But this dream is the only one I've ever had in vivid colors. I was standing on the shore of the Gulf of Mexico. Standing next to me was my former priest who died in 2009. His name was Father Ralph. I was surprised and very happy to see him again. He was guiding me and giving me great advice and instruction, as he did when he was alive. Eve said, Father Ralph was the pastor of a Spirit-filled Episcopal church that my mother attended in the 1990s, and this church was a great help to her in progressing in her faith. 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, For though you have 10,000 tutors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I beget you through the gospel. Amen. We can beget people unto God in no other way than through the Scriptures, because we are a product of the Scriptures, whereas religion is a product of man. Okay. In Hebrew, Ralph means God heals. It also means counsel and advice. I believe Father Ralph here represents the man-child ministers who have died to self and resurrected and caught up to the throne of kingdom authority to lead the elect of God. And that's through the counsel and wisdom of the Lord during the tribulation. Amen. It was dusk, Candace said, and he pointed out something in the sky to me. It was five bright, shining yellow orbs in a circle. Well, the number five as orbs, I believe, symbolizes a spirit of God's grace, goodness, favor towards us. Five is the number of grace, right? They were about a fourth the size of the moon, which was full, and they were farther away than the moon, up with the stars. Well, we know that the Bible says that Abraham's seed would be as the stars of heaven, and these are the people who will receive the grace. We are all sons of Abraham through faith, right? Genesis 22:15-18 says, And the angel of the Lord came unto Abraham a second time out of heaven, and said, By myself have I sworn, says the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Amen. As I watched them, they began spinning like a wheel, and the five orbs became one, getting bigger and bigger. Well, I believe this probably represents grace and unity of the Spirit being poured out upon the saints of God during this great revival that's coming with the man-child ministries. Suddenly they began expanding to fill up the sky and looked like a beautiful, colorful bubble wrap. It continued to fill the sky and the atmosphere, expanding down towards me and Father Ralph. It came down so close that we laid down on the ground. It came within an inch of our faces, and I felt like it was going to consume me, and I became afraid. Well, Father Ralph calmed me. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit revival will be the result of God's elect finally humbling themselves through tribulations and death to self. Hence, being down on the ground, right? It did not come any closer than an inch from my face, and then it all popped. And Father Ralph and I stood up and noticed the whole atmosphere felt different. The air was very clear and light. The water was very clear and pure looking. Birds were not flying, but were walking on the ground. Everything was at peace. All who were sick were healed. Yes, we've had revelations. In fact, Sandy had one like that, where everybody in our assembly was healed. And others have had the same revelation. And of course, you know that Jesus came and healed his disciples, and they went out and healed the disciples, and so on and so forth. The revival just spread, right? But this is the true peace that will be upon the earth when Jesus physically returns and makes all things new. The man-child ministries will begin and prosper this revival. And we're told that this is going to happen in the wilderness, a great outpouring, outpouring of fruit, as we read early in Joel's revelation. You know, God can manifest the fruit that you are believing for any time He wants. He can do miraculously above all that we can ask or think. There came a time when the outpouring of the Spirit happened in the book of Acts. And there is coming a time when God decides, okay, the palm worm, the canker worm, the caterpillar have done enough to humble my people, and now it is time to lift them up, right? Well, here's a text that actually was given to me by a brother who had a dream that he said in the dream, he said that I reminded him of this person. And I know it was talking about the Davids, you know, not just me, but the Davids, you know. Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots. That's the branch in the spoken about in the scripture. Shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord, which the Bible says, of course, is the beginning of wisdom. People who fear the Lord are careful with his word and careful with their relationships with one another. They're careful to please him. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither decide after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Yes. And we know that Isaiah 61 goes on to talk about this, where Jesus left off. And I believe that's because the man-child ministry is going to continue on and also bring judgment to the wicked who have persecuted God's people. Kind of like David conquered the Edomites, right? And righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. Well, that's kind of like my vision of the refuge. All were at peace. All of the animals were at peace one with another. Which does not mean that the wicked will mix with the righteous. That's what God, the opposite of that is what God is doing. Well, what it means is many people who were wicked will turn righteous and be apart and be at peace one with another. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. Well, there you have the little man-child leading them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. Let me say, I saw this vision in 2007 of all these animals at peace on this refuge, which I believe really is a world refuge. And these people who represented the animals, like the animals came down out of heaven in a sheet, and Peter got the revelation that this was the Gentiles, you know, coming and receiving of the Lord. And but what time was this when I saw this? Well, it was a time when there were all kinds of judgments going on outside the property of the refuge. And these were all fleeing all of these terrible things that were happening in the world and coming on to the refuge, and they were at peace. And verse 9 goes on to say, so let me say that this happened at the beginning, not at the end, you know, of the tribulation. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And we do know the gospel is going to go to the world, and we're going to have our part in it. And it shall come to pass in that day that the root of Jesse that standeth for the ensign of the peoples, unto him shall the nations seek, and that's Jesus, and his resting place shall be glorious. Yes, we're talking about that glorious resting place with Jesus. That's what we've been talking about. I noticed people were going underwater and sitting there in lawn chairs. They could breathe under the water. Well, the man-child will restore the true word of God to his elect. And this is the washing with the water of the word that will cause his people to have great peace and rest, represented by those lawn chairs. Father Ralph told me there was a large key hidden under a rock that he pointed out to me under the water. It was a key to a large treasure chest. He encouraged me to go and get the key so I could have the treasure. He said I could breathe under the water now, so not to be afraid to get the key. Well, Matthew 16:18-19 says, And I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, Jesus, in this context, Jesus was the rock. And he was speaking of himself here, not Peter, as some say. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And we've studied this binding and loosing, and it basically is the authority that God gives to his sanctified ones or saints. And even the youngest who are walking by faith in him have this right to use this binding and loosing. We have authority in the earth, and we exercise it, and we can bind the devil or we can loose the devil. We can bind the angels or we can loose the angels. It's in the power of the tongue, right? Belief in the heart and the power of the tongue. And also Revelation 3:7-12 says, And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia right. Now, I believe the Church of Philadelphia is the Church of Brotherly Love, as its name indicates, and I believe this is the bride. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. You see, that's what we're seeking for, is that key of David to open the treasure chest, right? He that openeth and none shall shut, and that shutteth and none openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee a door opened, which none can shut, that thou hast a little power, and didst keep my word, and didst not deny my name. Behold, I will give of the synagogue of Satan, of them that say they are Jews, and they are not. Well, we know that he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and that circumcision is of the heart, not outwardly in the circumcision of the flesh. They were the parable. Not to say that in this age also, when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, the Jews too are going to come in. And even so, some are charismatic Jews. They've been filled with the Spirit, but they have also been filled with Christianity and the New Covenant. And others, they're trying to decide whether they want to be under the Old Covenant or the New Covenant. So that's a confusion that the man-child is coming to help with too. Okay, so that they say that they are Jews and they are not. And there are people who say that they're Christians and they are not. Remember, a Jew is one inwardly in the circumcision of the heart. The flesh is cut away from the heart, right? But they do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Well, we know that a persecution comes from the carnal church against the spiritual church. It's always been that way. Okay, and even though these people think that they're more than what they are, their eyes can be opened in the days to come through this great revival, the signs and wonders and miracles. Remember, the Jews turned to Jesus when they saw these signs and wonders and miracles, and here we come to these last days when the same thing is going to happen. Jesus in a corporate man-child body will do the same thing, and people will see that this is the power of God, and he is confirming for his creation his work. 10. Because thou didst keep the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of trial, that hour which is to come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So here is a people who is going to be kept through this trial. I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no one take thy crown. Amen. He that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out thence no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and mine own new name. Now, whether you know it or not, this is the bride being born from above, coming down out of heaven from God. Yes, I know what people say about all this, but it's saying it here right very plainly what this is. Born from above. We all must be born from above. Born from heaven. Born from the manna, which is Jesus Christ, that came down out of heaven. That's where our birth, new birth comes from, is devouring that manna, that word that was given to us out of heaven. I kept noticing the different atmosphere, the birds walking all around and not flying anymore. And I felt the healing everywhere. Birds not flying, I believe, represents that they no longer have anything to fear. You know how birds are. They'll sit around on the ground, hop around, peck, get their food or whatever, you know, but you get anywhere close to them and they fly. or anything else gets anywhere close to them, they fly, because they know there's safety in heavenly places, right? And this is, I believe, a sign that the predators have fallen. You know, it's not the whole world that is predatory towards God's people, and it isn't in the Bible either. It's a people who call themselves Jews or call themselves Christians that are the predators to God's people. The world just kind of backs off and leaves you alone if they don't want that, you know. Not these people. These people are wicked. They have, you know, killed all the prophets and so on, Jesus and so on and so forth. So we can see who the real enemy is here. But these predators, in a large part, are about to fall. And this is because of Eve's dream of the dogs being gathered by the angels and being temporarily incarcerated until being put to death by lethal injection, which is likely the next plague. His recompense is before him, and his reward is with him. We see Jesus and Isaiah coming out of the Edomite sheepfold with his stained garments, stained with the blood of these wicked people who have persecuted God's people. And then he comes to his people. His recompense is before him. His reward is with him. That's what it says. I walked under the beautiful clear water and was amazed that I could breathe. I began to feel very comfortable under the water and went to the rock to lift it to get the key. At that point, I woke up. The wonderful, freeing, healing, and beautiful experience I felt in that dream has not left me. It is hard to convey in words. This dream gives me great comfort in the Lord. And I thought of Revelation 21:1-5, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Let me say that this, of course, happens at the end of the tribulation period, but there are particular parts of it that come, I believe, in this particular generation, because not to the world, but to the people of God. And the sea is no more, and I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard, you know, in Revelation 19, Revelation 21, we see that the bride is being caught up to the throne of God, much like the man-child was years before. And I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his peoples, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Yes, he is God with us. He is coming again to be God with us. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. The first things are passed away. He that sitteth on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Well, we are a new creation in Christ. It's been given to us as a gift from God. And we walk in that faith until we see it, right? Amen. So then, Candace, she said, I asked the Lord for a scripture by faith at random and received Romans 6:5, 1-14 in context. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Some people think so. That's very foolish. God forbid. We who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? Did we die to sin? Of course we did. When we were baptized in Christ, we took on this parable, basically, that points out that we received then our death to self. And from then on, Jesus came up out of the water, and he lives in us. and we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. So that was an act of faith whereby we received everything from God by faith, and that is death and resurrection through being buried and brought up out of the waters, right? So we who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? Or are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. So our baptism is an act of faith that we accept at the beginning, and we're justified by our faith until God manifests it in us, because he gives grace to those who walk by faith, right? Don't forget to do that. And don't give in to condemnation, you know. You fail, you confess your sins, you get up, you walk again. You don't continue looking back. We look forward. We don't look back. We look forward to the end product, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, that's talking about going down in the waters of baptism, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. This is coming up out of the water. Just as we went down in the waters of the Word of God, we come up out of the waters of the Word of God, and it's not us anymore. It's Christ, right? So the act of faith is manifested by God's power. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, so that we should no longer be in bondage to sin, for he that hath died is justified from sin. Amen. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death no more hath dominion over him. For the death that he died unto sin once. And you know what? We died with him. We were crucified with him. It's already done. Your old man's dead and gone. The new man lives. Believe it. Hold on to it. But the life that he liveth unto God. Now here's one of the keys right here. Even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin. Don't let sin worry you. Don't be staying in condemnation. You confessed your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Get up and hold fast the confession of your hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. Even so, reckon ye yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. And let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. It's in your mortal body that you are to resist sin by faith, right? And he's telling you how to let not sin reign. And it was in the previous verse. Reckon ye yourselves to be dead unto sin. You died with Christ. You don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. That was the good confession that Paul had, right? So neither present your members unto sin as instruments of unrighteousness. And, of course, people do that. They put themselves in positions of temptation, and then when they get tempted and fall and stumble around, they wonder why. Just stay away from it. But present yourselves unto God as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Well, how do you get under that grace, huh? You walk by faith. We're justified by faith that Jesus took away our sins and gave us his life. And Candace said, a few days later, I saw this image of the sun taken through the earth's atmosphere. And this is how each orb looked in the dream. And I suppose when they became one, this is how it looks on a larger scale, right? God's going to bring his people together. Even as Satan and denominationalism and apostate preachers have done their best to denominate and divide the church, the Lord is going to bring his people together. And it's going to be the Word of God that does it and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that does it. Oh, how good it's going to be. I have seen this happen on a smaller scale, and it is awesome. It is awesome to see the unity of the saints coming from so many different directions and deciding that they're going to believe the Word of God and becoming one and becoming at peace one with another. It's just awesome and powerful, and God wants to see it. And how precious it is for his saints to dwell together in unity, right? Amen. Well, Father, thank you for this this encouragement, and we know it's coming, and we thank you so much for it, and thank you for drawing us unto yourself, for no one comes unto the Son except the Father draws. And so, Father, draw us unto yourself. Father, encourage us. Father, pour out your Spirit upon us and empower us to walk in the Spirit and to feel those wonderful things that the saints have in these revelations. Thank you so much, Father, for what you're doing. Glory be to God. Well, all right, saints, the Lord bless you and keep you, and we'll do this again sometime. Amen.